bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're going solo. And the reason is I'd like to share with you my opinions and some of the things that I've seen recently about growing companies, mid-market companies. Our show is aimed at the people between $20 and $200 million in annual revenue each year. And I'm just seeing a pattern of, you know, that old joke about marketing not being able to be accountable. I mean, there's really an amazing number of jokes, you know, like the oxymoron of jumbo shrimp and the oxymoron of, let's see, military intelligence and the oxymoron of accountability for marketing. And the frustration that CEOs and presidents of mid-sized companies have because they see marketing as this bottomless pit of just expense. And so they get these proposals from the marketing department, and it looks like, oh, you're going to spend what? By when? For what? What am I going to get? I'm just going to go out and I'm going to get myself a salesperson, and they're going to close a deal, and I don't have to spend any money on that marketing junk. All right, we got to talk about this because I am seeing some people going backwards thinking that cold calling and banging on some doors and having people start from absolute scratch is actually less expensive than having marketing warm up the leads, warm up the prospects, and bring some inquiries to the sales department. Now, ask any salesperson what they'll say. They would like their marketing department to be more accountable. They want to see qualified leads coming from marketing, and it's been a tension for a long, long time. So I find myself repeating myself from my clients, and I'm going to share some of the tangible examples of how do you hold your marketing departments accountable, and what are you looking for? And I have one client right now that is trying to lay out the Excel spreadsheet and add all the pieces and make sure they know exactly what to expect from the things like the trade shows and the articles and the speeches they're doing. And I'll share the logic I'm showing with them. And this way, everybody benefits from the kinds of things that they're learning. Now, before we get into all this accountability for marketing routine, and I want to leave the thought, it is amazing how much you can get through a list of about 250 people. There's companies that are growing to $50 million really pretty well based on a tight marketing list of 250 people. I want that thought to sit there for a second while I foreshadow some of the shows that are coming up. In this next quarter, we have invited a number of guests. One of the things we do to find guests is, we read the business journals from all the different marketplaces, major marketplaces in the United States and major marketplaces around the world like Dubai and Hong Kong and Singapore and Buenos Aires and London. I mean, you know, it's a whole range. And, you know, as the people who are making, you know, new products or they're trying new growth strategies like franchising in a different way or a joint venture in a different way or they're getting venture capital in a new or exciting manner. And, you know, if it's geographic expansion or if it's a new product innovation, I watch for people who are making the move. You know, this show is not to interview Bill Gates for the 1,000th time. This is for people. It's a peer-to-peer program for people who are living in that middle and finding out, okay, how does somebody else do it? How does somebody else go after growth and keep it moving even when the housing markets are slow or whatever the complaint is? So I'm going to tell you some of the people that we're inviting. I don't know which dates some of them are going to be, but I want you to hear what kind of people are coming up. Patrick Riley of Braver, Stephen Bruni of Aztec Networks, Lawrence Gilson of GFI Energy, and the range there is Massachusetts, Colorado, and California. Joseph Pironi, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, of Dakai Sankyo, and that's in New Jersey, Howard Solomon of Forest Labs in New York, Drew Fromkin of Clinical Data in Massachusetts, David Gittleman of Kratos Capital Partners in Georgia, Robert Nolan of Halyard Capital in New York, Ron Huntington in Washington, and Scott Happ of Mortgage Bot in Wisconsin are just some of the beginning ones that we're going after, and you probably in your marketplace have heard of these people. They're getting the, you know, Inc. 500 on the Inc. 500 list and the Entrepreneur Awards, and they're making a difference. And how are they doing that? And can you listen to what they're doing and put it into your situation and say, okay, is there something from what that guy's talking about that has application to what we're doing? That's what the show's about. Save you some money, save you some time, hearing real-life examples with people being candid about their growth strategies. Okay, so now what do I mean by accountability for marketing? All right, one of the first things I want you to think about is it's a little bit of a tutorial. Go back. What are you really expecting your marketing to do? Now, to me, it is a combination. It's like a symphony. And if you don't organize it well enough and you don't think it through, it's just noise. It's just cacophony. But if you think about it, there are complementary sounds. There are complementary results in a symphony. There are some instruments that are responsible for establishing a rhythm, kind of a background level of the melody, but the background ambiance, the background energy. It gives you the permission to have something come up and get noticed. And in several of our marketing campaigns that we've worked with customers, things like their logo is not the melody of their marketing symphony. The logo has to be right. It has to, you know, generate the kind of image that they need. It needs to not fight what the rest of the campaign is about. But, you know, it isn't necessarily on its own going to bring you business. It's part of the background music. It's got to be right. It's got to be constant. It has to be consistent. But it's part of the background music. Same thing with sometimes, the directories that you're in. Most companies need to be in some of the directories so that if the people are looking for today's equivalent of the Yellow Pages and they're going on the websites and they're Googling the names, they find you. And, you know, won't necessarily pull the business immediately to you, but certainly could kill the business that's coming to you if they check it out and the wrong thing's there or you're not there at all. Another kind of background music in some cases is just some basic association memberships. If you never go to the events, but your name is at least in the directories and at least is listed, and it, you know, occasionally you can show up, and if you don't talk to anybody, it's still background music. Frankly, a lot of advertising, unless it's really, really well done, can be pretty expensive background music. So think through what in your marketing of advertising, associations, awards, collateral material, direct mail, entertainment, gifts, media relations, publicity, promotion, publications, speeches, testimonials, trade show displays, websites. Where's the background music? Where is the consistent? Every time you look, it's always there. The signs on your building, the frontage of your building, the letterhead that you use, the packages that you have. They won't necessarily pull the business to you, but they could hurt it if it's not consistent. Get it? So when someone says to me, all right, how much money should I spend on background music? Are you kidding me? It's just ridiculous. Why should I spend so much money on the letterhead when we do websites and everything's electronic? Well, some of the equivalent of your letterhead, what do your fact sheets look like? What do your outbound emails look like? As a speaker, one of the things that happens to me is I'm seeing the expectation that you need to have a video on your outbound emails. I mean, if you don't have just incredible technology reaching out to the marketplace, sending people today's current message, not only has to look good, it's got to be kept up frequently. I mean, you can't just have a website. Now everybody's got to have a blog. It's still background music, guys. So if you're whining about how much your marketing costs, take a look at what your competitors are doing. And I'm going to say, in a conservative campaign for a lot of companies that are going for aggressive growth, I'm recommending a lot of times that they have 4 to 5% of what they're trying to get in new business be spent on out-of-pocket marketing. Don't scream, because everybody thinks it's only going to be 1%, and I'm like sounding like I'm talking about real aggressive, 4 times what they expected. Now, wait a minute, do the math. Let's say you're trying to get $7.5 million in new business, and you want it tracked back to your marketing campaign is how it generated these, you know, new qualified suspects for your business development people to go out and call. You're not going to count the repeat business that it brings, because that's really being done by your customer service people and by the quality of your work. It's not going to be compared to the whole budget. If you're going to be talking about 4% of the new business that you want to have come in. That's what your marketing, your new marketing is going to be doing for new business. I know that sounds confusing. I'll put a handout on my website to support what I'm talking about. It's tough to do this just with audio. The point of this is that your marketing being about a 4% kind of budget, what are you looking for? And we're going to do the math, and you'll think about it. All right. Only about a quarter of the out-of-pocket money that you're going to spend, I think, is on background. Only about a quarter of it. Now, the reason it's that high is because some of the background music things are expensive. It's expensive to be in some directories. It's expensive to get really good logos and good graphic art. It's expensive to make sure that your presence on the Internet and the search words are right. It can be. It can be expensive to have some of the certifications that some of us need. It won't necessarily draw the business, but you have to have it. Ironically, there's a lot more cost efficiency as you move up the food chain into the eyeball, you know, one-on-one eyeball-to-eyeball kind of marketing. But I'm finding that if somebody gets cheap and they don't want to do that baseline of about 1% of their total gross revenue, or I'm saying, okay, a quarter of what you're going to spend on marketing is probably background music. Let that sink in. Okay, so now what else is there? Then there's the targeted campaigns. Then there's, can we pick our marketplaces? Can we pick where we really want to go? And what I'm recommending to you is, who are the 250 people who are really going to care about your business? I'm tailoring this to some companies that are between 20 and 200 million. I've looked at this across distributorships, technology companies, professional service firms. It amazes me how many times, if they can't answer that question, of who are the top 250 people that have purchasing, you know, authority, who are movers and shakers in their industry, who are in target accounts that you really want to have as clients. You want them as customers. You really want them. Can you answer that? If people are spending so much time and money generating lists of thousands of names, and then when you look at the business development effort, you look at the schedule, and you look at the expenditures, it's so diffuse, it doesn't add up. So if what would happen if you aimed 3% of your, you know, 75% of your marketing out of pocket on 250 of the right names, think of the power. Now we're starting to talk accountability. Okay, now after the break, I'll come back and we're going to go into more specifics about how do you aim what your marketing is doing, how do you find the time to have people focus, and how do you keep score so that you know it paid off. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Amber. We'll be right back.
Talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away, but then time passes and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about accountability for marketing. And I'm going to give you some tangible examples. You know, one of my clients is a national firm, and they have big accounts that are in places like California, Texas, you know, Washington, D.C. kind of area, Illinois. You get the idea. You know, you can almost predict where some of the clients are going to be for some firms because of the dynamics of the marketplace. So if somebody's in healthcare or they're in higher education or they're in government, you know, guess what? Massachusetts is probably going to be one of their targets. So, you know, and if they're in the financial network, it's going to be Atlanta is going to be included in their list. Duh. Okay, so some of it's pretty transparent. All right, if you're trying to go after about $7.5 million in new business, and that's a typical number that I find rising in the business plans of companies between 20 and 200. Okay, we're really looking for 7.5 in our new marketing campaign. Here we go. Let's work backwards. All right, 4%. Do the math, and I'll do it for you. We're looking to spend about $300,000 in the marketing budget. Oh my God, that's so much money. No, do the math. It's about 4%. Now, another 4% is going to be used for the business development, the eyeball-to-eyeball, the face-to-face, you know, the sales guys pounding on doors and having meetings and doing dinners and doing entertainment. It's going to end up being about an 8% kind of a ratio, which is fabulous, guys. If you go pull out your P&L, go look at your real numbers about what, you know, business development is costing you and see how good I'm doing here, okay? So, all right, we're talking about half of it being spent on the marketing budget. All right, now, what are we really looking for? All right, we want 250 names of qualified prospects. So in this case, we picked five geographies, and we're going to start with two of them. We've picked the two that where they've had the biggest history, they've got the most pull, they have some big accounts that they can leverage, and we're picking 50 names in each of those two. We're picking 50 organizations that are delicious. Oh, we're just craving those accounts. And we really know that if we can attract those people, now we're cooking. Now, there's going to be some ancillary people that are going to be invited to events because they're on the similar kind of list. But the reality is we are playing to those 50 names in that marketplace. So in the California marketplace, around the industries that they've chosen, it took some time. The thing that took the most time wasn't the marketing department being accountable. It was the business development people saying, which accounts did they really want? There is this avoidance of commitment. There is this fear of, you know, who would you leave off the list? Now, you can still, if you get a referral and you get somebody who's sending you to a town, you're not going to say no. You just have to aim your marketing effort. You're going to say, these are the 50 people that I want to constantly have the logo in front of them, the invitations to the trade shows, the direct mail that's sending them reprints of articles that we've had written about us and the articles that we're writing. These are the people that we want to have email blasts go to with, you know, the announcements about people who have been promoted in our company. These are the people that we want to have invited to be on panels with our experts. These are the ones that when we come into town, we're probably going to say, you know, we're going out to dinner. You want to come with us? Commit. And one of the things that happens with marketing is they get beat up a lot of times for not being accountable. And the business development people, the people who are actually in sales, are the ones that didn't tell them who were the 50 people that they wanted them to impress. Let that sink in. Because how many of your companies have that issue? You have salespeople that are whining, marketing didn't do X, Y, and Z, and they won't even give them a list of 50 people that they want to have schmoozed. All right. Five markets. Now, one of the reasons that I, with this company and a lot of companies, I recommend five targets. Because you want to have some resilience in the economy. There are some target, some geographies that are having a lot of trouble. If you're going after business in Michigan right now, you better have something that is amenable to a tough economy. With the car companies having the difficulties that they are, Michigan's a tough place right now. And so, and it spills over into Wisconsin. Some of the economic development numbers are lower than they are in Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas. So, you know, would you be building something that demands a lot of wealth and discretionary money in Michigan? No. So if that's a target place for you for a lot of reasons, you've been from there, you've got experience, you're in a complementary industry, you need a geographic area that would give you some resilience in the economy. Same thing is almost like the, what the people who sell Christmas trees do when they have complementary businesses and selling swimming pools. All right, so take a look at five different target markets. They don't necessarily have to be completely different industries, but, you know, a lot of times, okay, what's the geography that's going to define it, and what's the industry that's going to define it, or the size of the company? But pick five reasonable targets that you know are complementary and going to give you some resilience. So in this case, this company is choosing things that are somewhat geographic, but we have three target industries. So one of the industries is government, okay? So there's a government sector in, you know, California, and a government sector in Massachusetts, and there's a government sector. You pick the state, you get the idea. All right. Who are the 50 companies? Who are the 50 organizations in your geographies and in your industries? Get it? Okay, so now you tailor something. In this case, they got $300,000, and they're going to tailor what they're going to do. All right, lay out the Excel spreadsheet. What's your background music? What are you going to do for your press releases? What are you going to do for your logo? What are you going to do for your association membership, et cetera, et cetera? You know, get it covered, get it consistent, so you know your marketing department has constancy. Now let's overlay. Now in this case, it's a professional service firm that's doing this. One of the things that happens with really busy companies between 20 and 200, they don't think they have the time to do any marketing. And they don't notice how exciting they are. So, you know, there's no excitement over marketing. If you're just busy, how are you going to do this? Well, this particular company has some really, really hot things that they're doing. I mean, they're solving problems that some other companies just can't figure out how to solve. And they're so busy they can't feel it. But if you have somebody with some energy in the marketing department that notices this and has, you know, oh, my gosh, look what we've got. We've got a tiger by the tail. And the background music is already taken care of and starts to talk about, okay, we've got, what's 300 minus 75? We've got that kind, we've got $225,000, and we're going to aim at having some truly targeted activity. And wouldn't the professionals that are busy doing all that work like to participate some? They don't have to be in the lead, but wouldn't they look good if they got showed off, if somebody showed them off? So what's the kind of thing that would make a professional service firm that's got five target markets across the United States that's doing really hot work look good? What would be exciting enough that the busy consultants would take a few minutes, you know, out of their day and actually work on it? Well, some of them have, you know, so much knowledge and are articulate and experience, and they've got, you know, stories they can tell from the projects they've done. These people can do speeches. These people can write articles. These people could respond to the media if somebody orchestrates it and puts them in front of folks. All right, now think about it. Before you get too busy just throwing it out there because their time's not available, it's not too available, think about the 50 people. Pause a second before you just throw the $225,000 and the minutes of those professional people just, you know, to the miscellaneous work. No, 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 no. If one of your targets was Massachusetts, What newspaper do your 50 target companies read? What TV station do they actually watch? Which events do they really go to? And it turns out in some of these cities, the symphony is the place that they're going to go. In others, it's a sporting event where, like in Boston, if you don't do something with the Sox, you might have missed the cue. Just take the time. Talk about holding people accountable. Make sure that if you're going to involve your staff, you're going to involve non-marketing people, that it's in a place where if they're made to look good and they put in the time, somebody's going to notice. Somebody's going to notice. It needs to be worth it. In L.A., if they're in the L.A. Times, do you think it might matter? If in Washington, if they're in the Post, it probably is controversial and it's about government. Find where you need to be, because maybe the Business Journal is where you need to be, and forget the big papers. It might be cable, but really think through where do your 50 targets need to go. In the case that I'm thinking about for this one client, it's really important. There's specific mid-level and like second-tier newspapers where their prospects are going to read, where they're going to look. It's the business journals. It's the government journals. It's the healthcare administrator journals. It's the higher ed provost journals. It's some professional journals where that's what the people are going to read and that's what they're going to care about. If you were on the news at 6 o'clock at night, it might not even be seen. Okay, if you took that time, now you start talking about how wonderful your company is and how targeted your work is, and you want to show those people off. You can get little task forces created that, you know, are writing articles. You can get little task forces together that are, you know, generating speeches. You can get little task forces together that are figuring out what's the good news from our projects that we could have available for the press. You can get people involved in even giving their opinion about the logo and doing research about what customers would like and what kind of adjectives come to mind when they look at certain images. You can actually get some billable people involved that aren't on the marketing department but want to have a say in their business. They want to participate. They want their opinion heard. They want somebody to care that they care. You can actually get them involved if it's aimed. If it's not, you're going to get the volunteer, you know, effort to go away so fast. If it's not aimed and you don't look organized and you don't look accountable, they're not going to help you, even from within. And I've seen really dedicated, bright, wonderful people not be interested as long as the marketing department isn't organized. So part of the accountability for marketing is, are you organized? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and we're talking about how one company is holding its marketing accountable. I want you to listen to it so that you can hear the process. Okay, there's another layer. Now we've got the background music that the marketing department's doing with the press releases, and the logo looks good, and the memberships are there, you know, everything's visible. Now you overlay some of your professional people, some of the folks that are doing the work, and just a little at a time, you know, doing things like writing some articles, writing some speeches, participating in committees, giving you some input about the logo, but they don't run it. Okay, and being ready for the media. Now, let's overlay. You know, what is that going to cost? What are we really looking for? We'd like this nifty work to be resulting in their case, that an average sale is about, you know, $1.25 million. So they're looking for $7.5 million in new business. They're looking for 6 juicy new accounts as a result of this effort. To get that, and they're trying to be conservative in their guesses. They figure they can land 1 out of 3 proposals. I think their conversion rate, their closing rate is going to be better, because these people are hot. But we want to make sure that our accountability numbers are conservative. So we're looking for 18 major proposals. Do the math. 12 months, you're doing about a proposal every 3 weeks. That's what we want to come from this marketing. Okay, now what does marketing actually bring you? It doesn't bring you a qualified proposal. It doesn't usually bring you somebody saying, I want you to bid on my project, my $1.25 million project. It doesn't come in that form. It comes in a qualified suspect. It comes in somebody inquiring and saying, wait a second, what you're talking about is like what our situation is. You seem to understand what my company's going through. You seem to get what our situation is. Can you come in and talk with us about what you do? Ha-ha-ha, that's what you got. Again, we're going to be conservative. They think their conversion rate from people inquiring and saying, well, you know, come talk to us, or we're interested in what you do, is only going to be 1 out of 10. I personally think it's going to be a heck of a lot higher. But the point is, this whole campaign, this whole marketing budget, is based on 185 qualified suspects. That's pretty close to the 250. We want to have the majority of the 250 people that we're going after that are getting direct mail and seeing speeches and getting articles and being invited to be on panels and being told when we're going to be in town. You know, we're hypnotizing them, saying, think of us, think of us, think of us. We're surrounding them. It's going to be, where have you been all our life? Look, you're everywhere, you're everywhere. Uh-huh, that's the whole idea. We're wanting the majority of them to respond sometime this year with a, okay, we'll listen to what you've got. Talk to us about what you do. That's what we want. That's the kind of response we want marketing to do. And if you do the math, each of those suspects, each of those times somebody inquires, calls, and says, expresses an interest, is worth $41,000 to these guys. And we want the business development, we want the salespeople to be spending their time with those 180 suspects. You do your math. If you don't know those numbers, if you don't know you're looking for $7.5 million or whatever your number is, if you don't know what your closing rate is, if you don't know what your average sale is, if you don't know how many new accounts you want, if you don't know how many major proposals you're going to be writing, if you don't know how many qualified suspects you want your marketing to bring you, you're just throwing money out. You get it? So now we're counting. Okay, where's the next proposal? How many do we have for the fourth quarter? And we're getting closer and closer. And is the closing rate coming the way we thought? Is the conversion rate, you know, 10%? Is the closing rate 33%? And are we beating the numbers so far? We're beating the numbers. The exciting thing about it is, once you get that baseline of the background music, you can overlay what I call campaigns. Now we got the business development people, and they're pre-setting their travel schedules. We know exactly when the president's going to be headed to each target market. We got them on a rotation. And so we know when he's going to California, and we know when he's going to, you know, D.C., and we know when he's going to Florida. And so the business development people and the marketing people, they know that they're trying to line up appointments for him. They're trying to line up the times that a top salesperson is going to be able to meet with one of those qualified suspects, somebody who responded and said, I'm interested in what you're talking about. Look at this. I read your article. I heard your speech. I saw your presentation. I saw the press release you gave me. Whatever it was that they responded to from the marketing campaign. And they wanted to talk. Now you got a much better chance of engaging that suspect into what is going on with their organization. Where are they headed? And you're not going to necessarily pitch. You're not going to necessarily propose that minute. That's the next thing I want you to hear. I find an awful lot of presidents and CEOs of mid-sized companies, they try to measure the marketing department by the precise sale of a prospect that year. What you really want is, think about, you want those 250 organizations, those prospects that you want as like lifetime customers. You handpick them as the kind of companies that you wanted to have as clients forever. They're customers for life. And so you're going to talk with that organization about what their situation is. And go at the pace that that company can let you. What marketing did is bring them to the table. It got the inquiry. It got the discussion. That's what they can do. But if, let's say, for example, you hit a prospect, the marketing drew it, and you've got dinner, and now you and a salesperson or even a lead person of your department are sitting there over dinner with that suspect in front of you. They're sitting there talking about their business. And they sound totally preoccupied. They sound so lost in, say, a computer upgrade or a relocation or a merger that they can't even think about what you sell. They're not ready to talk to you about where you're going and what you're doing. They're not going to be one of your proposals for the next quarter. What do you do? Cross them off the list and say, forget this, and marketing failed because it attracted someone that's not ready? No, 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 no. Here's part of accountability for you as the leader of the organization. Your marketing department is trying to attract and engage and keep activity and communication going with the 250 of the right people. Some of them are going to be preoccupied. Some of them are going to be saying, not yet. Some of them are going to be considering what you do. And some of them are going to be ready. And you need all four. You need prospects on that continuum. And it's worth your time. If it was the right 250 accounts, people, if it was the right companies, that, you know, 50 companies in front of you, think about your geography, think about the profile of the right kind of customer for you, think about the geography. Are you aimed? So if your marketing attracted somebody and you sat at dinner and they sounded preoccupied with the other things, you relax, you engage, you get excited that the marketing department brought them to you. You have a wonderful dinner. Make good friends. Get engaged with what they're talking about now. You don't pitch all, you know, great detail what you could do today, but you can start taking care of them. You can be a source for referral. Let's say what they need is legal services. So they're all tied up in some kind of product case, liability case, and where all they can talk about is lawyers and accountants, and or their board is in upheaval over the Sarbanes-Oxley regulations and they can't quite handle it. Whatever it was that's on those people's minds, if you're the ones that show that you are going to be engaged in a long-term relationship and you have referrals and you have a network and you have a group of people that you would bring in to strengthen their company with what they're currently thinking about, you don't think you're not going to have another appointment with them to move them up that continuum from preoccupied to maybe not yet, to a little later on to considering, to a little later on being ready? Oh, yeah. And your marketing department did you a huge favor by bringing you that opportunity. I've seen some people blow the sale because if somebody isn't completely ready for them to pitch what they do today, they act like they failed. They burn the bridge. They act like they didn't get to need to know that person. They act like it was a waste of their time. I see pouting and negative behavior and lack of appreciation for the fact that they got the opportunity in the first place. How dumb is that? Get it? There's a flow. It starts from who are the 250 people that you need to attract, that your organization needs to have interested in what you do, who's on your gift list, who's on your invitation for party list, who are the movers and shakers, the influencers, who are going to, who's trying to do something, who fits the profile of who you want to have business with 5 years from now. If you wouldn't want to still be doing business 5 years from now with that person, why are they on the list at all? And your marketing department in the background can be generating responses from those 250. Do the math. How many are you going to be having your business development people interact with this quarter? If this group wanted to have 180 of them responding, they want to see 45 appointments. Now, this particular company I'm talking about, they've got three or four of them that are out there doing this kind of work. You know, they're out and making the, you know, visits. They're out, you know, having the dinners. They're out, you know, they have the travel appointments. They know which state they're going to be in. So in a quarter, you know, the fourth quarter of this year, they're wanting to see about 10 appointments apiece for these BD people. That is not a lot. And if you relax and do them well, you can get excited about the relationships that come from it. Your oxygen goes into your head and you generate ideas. There was one where what happened is one of the business, the marketing department generated a discussion with a mayor of a town in their geography that they wanted to go after. All right, on the surface, the mayor wasn't ready to buy from them. It looked like they didn't have enough money. It looked like it wasn't going to go anywhere, but the president of this business was smart enough to listen to the situation. They're ending up, you know, helping them facilitate combining some technology services amongst four comparably sized cities. Pretty creative stuff. They didn't necessarily go into, you know, automatically selling the same old stuff they normally would do. You hear it? Define yourself as a resource. Define your company as a solution. Define yourself as, you know, one of the shortlist people for 250 folks out there. Then you know what to do to hold your marketing department accountable. What you're doing is you're holding them accountable for background music. You're holding them accountable for keeping score. You're holding them accountable for generating some creative ideas. You're holding them accountable for weaving the message of the business into the day-to-day thinking so that people don't forget it. We'll be right back with a wrap-up on how do you hold your marketing accountable. It's no longer an oxymoron. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Join Ava Lake every Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for an exquisite look into the art world and the stories that define the art and the artists. Each week, Ava will host a variety of guests, from the critics, curators, gallerists, to the players and artists who make it happen. That's the art world with Ava Lake, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. right here on the Voice America Women's Channel.
The Communication Catalyst with Tammy Quinn is a provocative radio talk show for business owners and corporate executives who are impacting their bottom line by improving their organization's social structure. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for The Communication Catalyst, building better business behaviors.
More and more business people recognize the importance of spirituality in their work. How do busy professionals discover what rings true for them? Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey-Salad explores what it means to be spiritually fulfilled in business and how to integrate spiritual direction into a career. Expert guests, authors, and inspiring speakers join Karen every week to discuss such issues as honesty, compassion, generosity, ethics, and integrity in the workplace. Take a positive step forward to greater life balance. Tune into Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey-Salad, broadcasting every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, the bottom line in business talk.
No.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and my contact information is www.thegrowthstrategist.com. In the United States, the toll-free number is 1-888-ALDANA. I just ended up with too many phone numbers for the different enterprises that I have, and if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. And the email is aldana@ambler.com. To kind of like go back to what we're talking about today, we're talking about holding your marketing accountable. And I think some people, they look at it and they go, oh, gosh, we're going to have to talk numbers. Yes, that's exactly right. You're going to spend some money on this. You're going to look for results. Okay, so ask yourself some questions. Do you know how much new business that you're wanting to get from your marketing efforts? Yeah, marketing helps you, you know, to go after some repeat business, but the primary thing that gets you to repeat business is good customer service. That's what turns a buyer into a repeat customer, and your marketing helps support it, but it's not the primary thing that drives it. It's delivery. So, I'm really focused on new business, and I admit that. So, all right, do you know, as this company does, that it's looking for $7.5 million in new business? Okay, do the math. Do you know what the average sale is? I'm surprised at how many companies between 20 and 200 million don't even know their average sale. So in their case, it's $1.25 million. Okay, do you know how many new accounts you're going to need over the next quarter or over the next year for it to pay off? Okay, in their case, it's 6 new accounts. That doesn't sound like a lot, but if they come in $1.25 million, yeah, we want 6 new accounts that are going to grow because the lifetime value of these things is multi-millions. Do you know how many major proposals you need to be doing in an individual quarter? Well, they're going to need 18 across the year. All right, if we're not doing these at about one every 3 weeks, we're behind. Do you know what the value of a hot prospect is to you? Okay, in other words, do you know what your closing rate is? In this case, we're going to be conservative. We think that they're going to close 1 out of 3. I personally think they're going to beat that. So what's the value of a hot prospect to you? In their case, it's $416,000. What's the value of a hot prospect, a proposal, to you? What's your conversion rate? In other words, if you've got some people that are inquiring, responding to your marketing, you know, what you want them to do that said, hey, you know, I saw an article, I saw a speech, I saw your press release, I met you at an association meeting, and we listened to something that you said and it resonated with us. It sounds like you understand our industry or the kind of company we are or the situation or the goals that we have. That's what you want marketing to pull. All right. What's your conversion rate? If you get somebody to inquire, how many of them are going to actually become a prospect? You know, like want you to sit down with them and talk about the situation and let you give them a proposal. These guys are being real conservative, and they're saying maybe 1 out of 10. One time out of 10 when somebody's inquired and said, okay, talk to us more, are we going to actually be allowed to do a proposal? I think it's conservative. I think they're going to beat that number. Do you know what yours is? You can't scream at your marketing department if you don't know what your conversion rate. You're guessing at what your conversion rate is, and find out. So in their case, they need 180 qualified suspects. That's what your marketing department can pull. You know the value of your qualified suspects. Every time someone calls and says, I think I'm interested in what you have to say, bingo, ching, it's worth $41,600 to them to get that call, to get that email, to get that inquiry. Get it? Do you know your numbers? the business development people, the sales people, are going to be spending their time with those 180 suspects. Now, to me, there's about 250 companies, 250 people out there that have any influence that are profile of the target accounts. And so the salespeople are going to be schmoozing with 180 of them. That's pretty high conversion rate, but they're going to do it. You watch. So think about how many people are out there actually having appointments. What does that mean? In a quarter, in their case, it means that each of those people is going to have 10, just about 10, delicious, juicy appointments. Do you know how many appointments you really want to have? Do you know how many proposals you're looking for? If you're not centered that way and you're screaming at your marketing department, who's at fault? Come on, get centered first. And if you're aimed at what's important to 250 people, there's going to be patterns, okay? You know, if you're going after higher ed, you know, what does somebody who's managing an institution of higher education, what's important to them? What are they thinking about? Where do they read? Where do they go? If you're going after the financial marketplaces, you know, what do the bank presidents and the department heads and the brokers and the people who are in insurance, what are they talking about? Come on, it's not that hard if you're aimed. It's when you're trying to please the whole public and you're trying to go after everybody that it doesn't add up, that it doesn't make sense. Our focusing on companies that are between 20 and 200 million has made a huge difference. And Linda, one of the things I want you to hear, your marketing is supposed to draw response from those 250 people that their salespeople have chosen, that they want to have educated, constantly contacted, you know, influenced by the marketing. You're not trying to do thousands and thousands and millions of people in the overwhelming majority of the companies between 20 and 200 million. You do not need thousands and thousands of people talking about you, but you sure need the right 250 doing it. All right, you are attracting people from four categories. They're not all going to be ready for you to give proposals when this starts to happen. You don't even want them to be. You couldn't handle that many proposals. What would happen if 180 or 250 proposals had to be done this quarter? I don't think so. That's not necessarily good news. You start to fumble them and start to go backwards. You really do want a mix that are along the continuum of preoccupied, not yet, considering, and ready. The proposals where they actually say, okay, talk to us about what you're going to do. We're going to compare you to other people. What's it going to cost us? How do we do it? Those are the people who are ready. And in this case, you know, do the math. If they're going to have 18 major proposals across the year, think about it. That's doable. That's doable. Do you know what your doable number is? And the excitement comes when you move the people from, well, they're not yet ready, they're not really ready to talk to you about what you do, and you move them to considering, you move them to thinking about what your company offers. I personally think that very, very effective marketing, targeted marketing campaigns, has the most effect on the people who have been not yet ready and are now going to consider you. And in the background, behind what the salespeople are doing, that's where the articles that are being written, that's where the speeches that are being provided. That's where the advertisements that are in the background, and that's where the association visibility, that's where the trade show displays, that's where the website has the biggest impact for your business, is moving prospects up the continuum from not yet to considering. They're the ones that are getting people ready to talk with your salespeople. That's where the real energy comes in your marketing. To hold your marketing accountable, you need to be centered about what you really want. Otherwise, you're going to just be talking about colors on your website or the details of how many people and which sentence in paragraph 4 of a direct mail piece, what it sounds like. It's minutia, it's micromanaging, and you forget why you're doing it. I'd love to have questions from you. I tried to do something that had specific numbers in it for you to really ask yourself, do you know your measurements on how to hold your marketing accountable? And my wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. And one of the ways to do that is to remember that marketing can be held accountable. It is no longer an oxymoron. This is the Growth Strategist, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.